Well, good morning. I would like to say a big thank you. As Kristen mentioned earlier, we had 25 high school kids go to camp this week. And a lot of that was due to the scholarship fund that we have that many of you have given to. And so I wanted to thank you so much for giving to that fund, because it makes a huge difference in the lives of these kids to be able to go to camp. And then I think we have another 9 or 10 or... Yeah, it's just phenomenal. So many of those kids would not be able to go if it was not for those scholarships. So thank you so much for providing those for our kids. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, it's on page 168 of the Blue Bible in the chair rack in front of you as we continue our series on what faith can do for you. It's a series that we have been sharing for several weeks because it's such an important topic. You see, faith is so important because it is the only way to have a relationship with an unseen God. And it's also the way that God has chosen to work in your life. And we've looked at verses in the Bible that have taught us things like, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verses like, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. And verses that define faith as confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, these truths that help us understand just how vitally important faith is to our lives don't do us any good unless we apply them. And so that's what we've been looking at as well. How do you practically take steps of faith? Because faith is a verb. It's action. It's something that you do. And as your pastor, I would be deeply, deeply disappointed if you missed God's amazing and adventurous plan that He has for your life, all made possible through faith. So, we've been looking at examples in the Bible of people who experienced the different facets of faith so that we could have an example of what faith looks like and what faith does. We've looked at people like Abraham. Abraham, in whom God came to as an old man and said, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Now, the interesting thing was, at that time, Abraham didn't even have any children. And so it took faith for Abraham to believe that God was going to make his descendants into a great nation, and yet that's exactly what happened. We've looked at the story of Moses, who by faith led the children of Israel out of 400 years of slavery. We looked at the story of David and Goliath, a young man that had to have great faith to even consider being able to overcome and defeat that giant. We looked at the stories of King Jehoshaphat and Joseph and Elijah. And this morning we are going to look at another amazing example of faith in the life of a man named Joshua. And we've studied these great men of faith to recognize the steps they took that you and I can take to live a faith personally. And I would like to change our focus, though, just a little this morning and point out that in all these examples of faith, they don't just impact one person. In fact, faith is so powerful that when even a small group of people or even one person chooses to act in faith, many other lives can be impacted as well. In all the stories we've studied during this series, literally thousands upon thousands of lives were influenced for good and for God, all through faith. So what I want us to focus on this morning is not so much the steps of faith a single person can take, but the power of faith when exercised by an entire group of people. And I would like to relate this message to our church as a whole. In fact, that's the reason that I titled the message, God's Strategy for Our Success. Now, yes, the steps that we're going to look at this morning are equally applicable to your lives as individuals as well. But God has called you together at this point in time to be a part of Reedsport Church of God for a purpose and a plan. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you believe it in faith, because God is going to do some amazing things through His church. And one of the other reasons I thought it would be appropriate for us to consider this aspect of faith as a whole this morning is that it dawned on me this week that this will be the very last message that I share in the 12th year of my ministry. I couldn't believe it when I realized that next Sunday, July 24th, was actually the first Sunday 12 years ago that I shared a message to our congregation. And I got to tell you, thank you, Mick. I'll give you that money afterwards. But it got me thinking that it took an awful big step of faith for my family and I to move the place that, at least for my boys and I, we had ever known. We'd never lived anywhere else but Boise, Idaho. My wife had. She'd lived lots of different places. But it took a big step of faith for us to come and to be a part of this amazing church family. It also took you, as a church congregation, a big step of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not giving you your money afterwards. To take on the leadership of a young pastor starting his very first ministry as a senior pastor. And it got me thinking, you know, I'm not that young anymore. I didn't have any gray hair back then, and now I do. And I really, really appreciate verses like Proverbs 16:31, which says, gray hair is a crown of glory. Yeah! You should be cheering louder than that. But listen to this. It is gained by living a godly life. Folks, we have an amazing life that God wants for us to live. And it's all made possible by faith. And even though I am getting a little bit gray and a little bit older, I am more excited about what God is going to do through our church family in the next 12 years. And it's going to happen in faith. So what I'd like to do this morning is look at this amazing story in Joshua chapter 1. And then talk about the five steps or strategies of success that Joshua and the entire people of Israel experience, the same strategy that I think you and I can employ in our lives and our church family, that we would see success as well. Let's read this together this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says this. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, let me remind you that prior to this story, the people of Israel had to wander around in the desert for 40 years, all because of a lack of faith. You see, God never intended for them to have to wander around in the desert aimlessly for 40 years. He wanted to deliver them straight out of slavery in Egypt, directly to the promised land. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that Moses sent 12 spies, one from each tribe of Israel, into the promised land to do a little reconnaissance mission and to come back and to report to the people how it is that they would be able to conquer the land. And the story goes that 10 of those 12 came back and said, there are giants in the land. We can't fathom how it is that we would be able to conquer this. And there were two of the spies that went in who believed by faith that they could do it. You remember the names of those two spies? Joshua and Caleb. And so here we are 40 years later. And I believe it's because of the faith that Joshua had that God has now called him to lead his people, the Israelites, into the promised land. You see, faith is powerful. Faith is important, and sometimes as it is exercised by an individual or even a small group of people, it can have a huge influence and impact on many, many different lives. And so what I want to share with you most importantly this morning is I think there are five steps or strategies that you and I can share, just as Moses and the people of Israel did, that we might too be successful in the plan that God has for our church and for our lives. And so the first step is this. You need to be clear in your direction. You need to be clear in your direction. If you expect to be successful, if you want to see a vision accomplished, if you want to realize the fruition of a dream, you have to know your direction. Where you're heading needs to be clear. You'll never end up where you want to be if you don't know which direction to go. Take it from me. Which seems obvious, yet most people, most businesses and organizations, and even most churches never see much success because they are stuck wandering through life and ministry, never having a clear direction. And it's unfortunately easy to do. The people of Israel had wandered around the desert for 40 years without experiencing any real success, and it was all due to their lack of faith. Now they have stopped wandering because they have a clear direction. Did you notice how clear God laid it out for them in those first four verses? I mean, He gave them the boundaries of the land that He was giving them, to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. God was giving them clear direction as to what their future was going to entail. And I think one of the reasons that our church has seen a reasonable measure of success is because about 13 years ago, a group of folks started a Sunday evening Bible study for the sole purpose of searching the Scriptures to determine the direction of our church. The direction in which the Bible says a church should be about, what's their purpose, and what is God's plan. To find the clear purpose and meaning. And folks, that's the way to determine a clear direction for a church or your life. You start by studying God's Word. And I am so thankful for the faith and the foresight of that small group of people 13 years ago. And I believe it was due to them that they laid the foundation of why it is that God is now using our church to see many people saved, come to know Him, and to be discipled in our community. I'm thankful for those folks. We can see the same thing happen in our individual lives if we too study and go to the Scriptures. You might find a verse like this in James 1, 5 through 7. This says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And so if you're here this morning and maybe you walked in feeling a little bit aimless, maybe you too feel like you've been wandering for a while, then if that's the case, I would encourage you that you ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask Him to show you the purpose and the plan that He has for your life. Ask Him to show you the direction, because He will. And He will be just as clear with you as He was with the people of Israel. So first, you have to be clear in your direction if you're going to have success in life individually or as a church family. And then number two, you be confident in your desires. Be confident in your desires. You see, it's human nature that after you've sensed your God-given direction, that you will begin to doubt. You question lots of different aspects of your direction, like, was that really from God? What if I'm wrong? Or more commonly, we say things like, am I really up to this task? I'm not sure I have what it takes to be involved in that. There was a Peanuts cartoon one time where Charlie Brown in the first frame is playing baseball. And he's standing there looking up to the sky saying, a pop fly! I've got it! It's all mine! If I catch this ball, we'll win our first game of the season. Then he starts praying. Please, please let me catch it. Please let me be the hero. Please let me catch it. Please. Then in the next frame it says, on the other hand, do I think I deserve to be the hero? The kid who hit it doesn't want to be the GOAT. Is baseball really that important? Lots of kids all over the world never even heard of baseball. Lots of kids don't even get a place to play at all or have a place to sleep or... And just about that time, the ball drops right in front of him. Linus comes out and says, "Charlie Brown, how could you miss such an easy pop fly?" And Charlie Brown responded, "I prayed myself right out of it." He didn't pray himself right out of it. He doubted himself right out of it. And folks, we have to recognize that is so common to our human nature. That's why we have to be confident. We have to be confident in our desires. In fact, the next verse of the passage in James that we just read says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And again, this is a very normal human behavior, but if we are to see our lives and our church be successful through faith, we can't let Satan fill our minds with doubt. We have to be confident in what we're doing, confident in our desires, clear in the direction that God is leading us. And I believe that Joshua was probably a lot like us. In fact, did you notice just in those short 9 verses that 3 different times God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous in verse 6. Then in verse 7 he says, "Be strong and very courageous." And then at the very last verse in verse 9, he changes it from just a word of encouragement to a command. He says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous." And here's the key, and we talked about it last week. It is fear, not problems, that keep you from being successful, that keep you out of the promised land. Problems don't keep God's plan from being accomplished in your life or our church. Because God uses the problems we experience as part of His plan so that it can't be confused as to who really made it happen and deserves the glory. You see, if we didn't have any problems on the road to success, we would think we did it. And how foolish that is. Now, again, there are things that can destroy your confidence, and we need to recognize those and be on the lookout for them. And I put them on your message notes this morning. The first is experience. Experience can destroy your confidence. And you might say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor Helen. Shouldn't experiences make you more confident?" Well, sometimes. It depends on the experiences you've had. And often our experiences are failures, not successes. And those failures quickly destroy your confidence. The path of faith is not to let your failures destroy your confidence, but use them to learn and to grow and to mature. There was once a young executive who came to a senior executive and he said, "I want to know the secret of success." The wise old executive said, "The secret of success, young man, is making right decisions." The young man said, "Well, great. How do you learn to make right decisions?" The old man said, "By experience." The young man said, "Well, how do you get experience?" And the old man said, "By making wrong decisions." Experience can do one of two things. It can cause us to lack confidence, or we can use it as an opportunity to build our faith. Another thing that can destroy your confidence besides experiences is emotions. Our own human emotions. You see, many people make decisions based on their moods, and if you're going to be truly successful, a mature person masters their moods. And they make decisions not based on how they feel at the time, but what they know is right. Experiences, emotions, and then there's one more thing that can destroy your confidence, and that is excuses. Rationalizations or justifications. Things like, "I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the ability. I don't have the energy for that. I don't have the experience." But folks, please know those are all just excuses. Because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So don't use it as an excuse. Use it as a prayer request. So all those excuses and emotions and past experiences have no bearing on your success. I believe the only thing that matters is what Psalm 37:4 says. "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." It all starts by taking delight in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? How do you take delight in the Lord? Well, I think it's the same way that you take delight in any relationship. When you delight in somebody, what do you want to do? You want to spend time with them. You want to get to know them. You want to, them to get to know you and you to know them. And you just enjoy hearing what's going on in their life and sharing life together. That's what you do by taking delight in the Lord. You just spend time with Him in prayer and in His Word and with His church family and what He's doing to build His kingdom. So you take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, so that you can then take the third step in God's strategy of success, which is be committed to your decision. Be committed to your decision. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that once you've realized the direction God is leading you, don't look back. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Wow. And how often do we live in our past as opposed to our present or our future? A farmer, he's using a farming reference. If you put your hand to the plow and you're plowing a path or a row and you look back, what are you very likely to do? Stray. Get off the path. Make a mess of things, right? And that's the same in our spiritual lives and our relationship with Jesus. And He said, don't look back. Keep your eyes ahead on Me. Commitment is the key to accomplishment. God told Joshua in verse 9 there, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." Now there are, I believe, three sources of discouragement that you and I are going to deal with. And the first, we talked a little bit earlier, problems. Problems in life can be a discouragement and keep us from committing to our decisions. You see, problems will tempt you to give up, because every good idea has problems. But you don't reject something just because it's got problems. Did you know that even the promised land had problems? Seven problems specifically. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that there were seven enemy nations that occupied the promised land that the Israelites were going to be faced with dealing with. Seven major problems. And yet it was the clear direction that God was leading them. And so in faith, you have to be confident and committed to the direction and the decision that you are making in your life. But not only are problems sometimes discouraging to us, but also pressures. Pressures in which cause you to want to say, this is too much. Too much responsibility. I'm going to throw in the towel. I can't do this on my own. I can't handle the pressure. I want to quit. I want to give up. Now, did you notice that there's something in common with all of those pressures? They all begin with the word, I. I. And when you and I try to go life alone and do it on our own, we are going to feel pressure. Because we accept responsibility and we accept things into our life that God never intended for us to have to handle on our own. And when you do that, when you try to play God and handle things that only He can handle, well, you are going to experience pressure and it can cause discouragement in your life. But then there's one other source of discouragement that we have to just admit, and that is people. People will tempt you to give up, to let go of your commitments. They will disappoint you sometimes. Sometimes you'll be misunderstood, maybe ridiculed, even criticized. The fact is, negative attitudes are contagious. So although there are problems and pressures and people that can cause and be sources of discouragement, that is why it is so important to be committed to your decisions. And I know that you're aware of this, but we live in a culture that struggles to commit to anything. To a marriage, to a job, to a church. But folks, commitment is a key factor in success. And one of the reasons that Jesus' life was so powerful is because of His commitment. You see, Jesus was totally committed to doing the will of His Heavenly Father. And He was totally committed to offering you and I a way to have our sins forgiven so that we could live forever in heaven. How committed was He? To the point of death. And look what that commitment has done. You are sitting here today because of the commitment of Jesus Christ. There is no other reason that we are assembled here today. Not one. It is only because of the commitment of Jesus Christ. And He calls us as His followers to be committed to the decisions and the direction and the desires that He has placed in our life. that we might then take the fourth step or strategy of a successful life in a successful church, and that is to be careful to obey God's decrees. Be careful to obey God's decrees. We see that very clearly in this passage, starting in verse 7, where it says, "Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." See, we are blessed that in our day and age, we have God's Word, His instruction manual. I've heard some people refer to the Bible as an acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I like that. I've also heard the Bible called God's love letter to us. And that's what it is. That we might know how desperate God is to have a relationship with us, both now and for all eternity. And so if you want to truly understand the meaning of life, if you want to find your purpose and plan and follow it with a clear direction, you have to know what's inside these pages. It is filled with God's promises and His principles, laws, and decrees that life would be good and what He intended it to be. And you know, the two main areas that I think I see people struggle with the most as a pastor and share with people and counsel people, the two main areas that I think we struggle with the most is relationships and finances. I seem to be in more counseling situations over relationships and finances than any other area. And did you know that this book is filled with advice about relationships and finances? It is. From cover to cover. All we have to do is read and study. And then most importantly, apply and follow. And that's exactly what God is telling Joshua and the people of Israel. Because if we don't follow the instructions, we are destined to fail. We are destined to live our lives and not experience the success that God wants for us. In fact, if you continue to read this story, which I encourage you to do, Joshua is a fascinating book of the Bible with amazing stories. You will see that not long after they crossed the Jordan River and conquered Jericho and were going to be conquering the promised land, they came to this little itty-bitty town called Ai. And they scoped it out, and they came back and they said, "Oh, this is no problem. We don't even have to send our whole army. Let's just send about 3,000 men over there, and we can take it without any problem." So 3,000 of the Israelite warriors, they go over to this little town of Ai, expecting to have great success, and guess what? They had to turn tail and run. Why? All because they didn't follow the instructions. God had said, "When you conquer Jericho, I want you to save the gold, silver, bronze, and iron to be dedicated to me." And yet there was one man named Achan who decided it was just a little bit too tempting. And he took a little bit for himself. And he put it in his tent underneath a rug and he hid it. And God revealed to them that that was the reason for their failure. And as soon as that was corrected, guess what? They went back to Ai and had success. And not only Ai, but town after town after town. God gave them the success that He had promised to, but only when they were careful to obey God's instructions. And we need to do the same. And then we need to make sure that we follow the fifth and maybe the most important step of all, and that is to be conscious of God's dependability. Be conscious that God is faithful. He says in verse 5 and 9, "I will not fail you or abandon you, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In fact, I think God gives four promises, four things that He promises to give us if we follow Him in this passage. First of all, in verse 5, He promises to give us power. "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live." He also promises protection. "For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Power, protection. And then in verse 8, we see God promise prosperity. "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." Now, let me just make sure for a minute, because I think in our day and age, we get the word prosperity mixed up. We don't always have the same definitions that God does. Have you figured that out yet? God's ways are a little bit different than ours. Well, this word prosperity has even gotten really messed up in the church. And we hear about some preachers and televangelists that have a prosperity gospel. Okay. Well, in America, what do we think of being prosperous? How much money do we usually equate to being prosperous? Millionaire, right? Right? To be a millionaire is to be prosperous. Well, let me share with you this morning, and this is very important. Do you know what God's definition of prosperity is? His definition is having more than you need. That's being prosperous, to have more than you need. And so let's take a little survey this morning, and I want to remind you that you are sitting in church, okay? How many of you are prosperous? Let's be honest. You know, God has blessed us. We have more than we need. And God has promised us that power, protection, prosperity. But then He also promises, most importantly, His very presence. He says, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That the very presence of God will be with those that through faith take delight in the Lord. That in faith desire to be obedient to the Lord. That in faith make commitments to the Lord. The Lord, I am going to follow you. I am going to do whatever it is that you ask me. I am going to be confident and I am going to be committed to the direction that you are leading me. And I hope that that is our desire, not only as individuals, but as a church. Because if we will be faithful and follow the same strategy that Joshua and the people of Israel did, we will see success after success after success. How do we define success at Reedsport Church of God? Helping build the kingdom of God. That's our purpose. Help build the kingdom of God. To serve and to love and to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that not one would perish. That's what Jesus said. I would not want that one would perish. And He uses us as His hands and His feet to bring that message to our neighbors, to our family, and to our friends. And so I hope and pray with all of my heart that you and I will commit together to living a life of faith, that God would be glorified by it, and many, many people's lives would change just as Jesus is changing ours. Amen? Let's join together. Would you pray with me? And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord this morning. In whatever way is personal and appropriate for you. And as I said earlier, it's very likely that some of us walked in this morning wandering. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to take our eyes and our focus off of Jesus. And when we do, we just wander. And so if that is your case this morning, I would encourage you to take that and turn it into a prayer request. And do as James says, ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Ask Him to show you the direction that He has for your life, His purpose and His plan for you. For many of you, it will be being a part of this church family and making a commitment to that. For others, it may include other plans and purposes and being a part of His church in other places and cities and towns. But ask the Lord this morning to give you a clear direction. And then I would encourage you to express a confidence in your desires. And take this opportunity to make a commitment before the Lord. Folks, commitment is important to success. Commitment builds maturity. Commitment is often the key to seeing our hopes and our dreams realized. And so reaffirm, first of all, your commitment to Jesus Christ. And maybe there are some things that you need to commit to for the very first time. Maybe it's committing to be careful from this day forward to obey God's word. maybe you need to make a commitment to being conscious of God's dependability every single day. That you are from this day forward going to remind yourself of that every single morning. That you are going to walk in that truth. You're going to walk in the promises of God, and you are not going to allow Satan to distract you, to cause you to doubt or to waver. That you are going to live your life in the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. We are so blessed that you have given us your church. We are blessed to be a part of your kingdom and your family. And so we commit our very lives to you today. And we commit the Reedsport Church of God into your hands, that we might fulfill your purpose and your plan in our generation, that you would be glorified and souls would be saved for all eternity. Oh, dear Lord, you are so good to us. We thank you for your promises. May we follow your principles all the days of our life. May we be as Joshua, who stood up before the Israelite nation and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May that be our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.